Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to say something. You know I was born in the 504, New Orleans.
Yeah.
From the day one. I don't know if I've ever felt better about New Orleans getting blown out in a football game than I did last night, because now I'm a 305 guy. And man, when we went in on Thanksgiving night to the Packers, I'm talking about the Dolphins, and we're going to change the narrative. That was the whole deal.
Yes.
Change the narrative. Go in to the cold weather climate against a playoff team and get a win and, you know, just play good maybe. And they just didn't do it. And I said, man, if the Saints with Spencer Rattler, a backup quarterback, Darren Rizzi, an interim coach, can go in there and take care of business, I'm going to feel really bad as a Dolphins fan. And I realize it's just not that easy. So no. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I like the Saints because I'm a Darren Rizzi fan, so I'm cheering for him. But there's just so much you can do when Spencer Rattler is your quarterback. that's what people don't realize. That's why quarterbacks are such an overpaid position. I mean, you're at the point where Tua's making $47 million a year. Tua's not a $47 million a year player. Hmm. However, he does play a position where the value of the contribution that he brings is equivalent to $47 million. So these positions, they dictate everybody's level of success. And, whether you say Tua's not it or Tua's special or Tua's, this generation's version of Matt Ryan, which is what I think he is right now.
Ooh.
He's what do you mean? Ooh. Mm. He's somewhere in the middle of Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, not to the Drew Brees level, because people talk like Drew Brees was like an elite quarterback. He had one Super Bowl run.
Okay, Drew Brees, what people don't understand is they think that Drew Brees was an elite quarterback from the time he was in San Diego until the time that he retired. And the fact is, he actually had to grow into being Drew Brees. There was a lot of years he was 7-9 in New Orleans. People don't remember that. All they remember is the Super Bowl year and then the year they got cheated out of going to the Super Bowl with the Rams and the bad call. But Drew Brees was not always this just assassin that everybody remembers
Absolutely.
Him to be.
Now, he was an accurate quarterback. And he was a precision passer. And that's who Tua is. And there's no shame in that. Now, the question is, can he and his team elevate this team? Now, I'm not one of those people who have this delusional thought that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't live in land of delusion. You had your opportunities. You squandered your opportunities. And now it's not in your control. Now it's out of your hands. You need everybody in the world to collapse in order for you to make it there at 9-8, and then you have to win your games. Now, I think they got a pretty good shot to win their games, and I love what Anthony Weaver said last week, which is, what's your motivation to play as opposed to keeping everybody from being fired, which, I still thought was on the table if they had lost to
San Francisco?
Last week's opponent, San Francisco, which I think that was a great win. I don't know if Dolphin fans will view it as a great win because, it's not a winning franchise and, it doesn't add to the list of teams that Tua has beaten, with a winning record and showing you that he can be, he can compete, not just Tua, but the entire franchise. But the Saints, last we checked, how many Super Bowls did they make it to in the last 3 years? I believe it was two.
In the last 3 years?
Yeah. Three.
The Saints?
No, I'm sorry. 49ers. I'm sorry. 49ers. 49ers. 49ers.
I wish. Yeah. They were minutes away from winning the Super Bowl last year.
Was it last? Yes.
Yeah, last year. Went to overtime. It took a Patrick Mahomes run on like 4th and 4. He got a first down.
Yeah.
They tied it, went to overtime, and then
so,
they won.
Yeah, they got robbed two times.
I wouldn't say robbed, but.
Oh, they had fourth quarter leads.
Yeah, they had big leads on Mahomes. And that one here in Miami right before COVID, I thought they were dead in the water, the Kansas City, but lo and behold, that's before I knew who Patrick Mahomes was.
Yeah, no. Now, everybody isn't Patrick Mahomes. Everybody isn't Josh Allen. Everybody isn't Lamar Jackson, but it's better than Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler. Oh, goodness gracious. I do want to say this, though, Omar. I do think the Dolphins are going to win out, and I said it in the pregame show, Game Day Uncensored, that we had before you even came on. Thanks for coming on every week. I said I think they're going to win out these last three games, and it's going to come down to that loss, unfortunately, to the Indianapolis Colts, where you had Tyler Huntley and then Tim Boyle throwing that pass that was 10 yards behind the receiver and 5 yards out of bounds that we lost that game. It's going to come down to us not making the playoffs, probably because of that one game.
Yeah, and Tyler Huntley getting hurt. Not that he was good when he was in the game.
They both threw for under 100 yards.
Yeah. I mean, it's really going to come down to injuries. And I don't – that's every season. But that's every season for every team. Like, you think the 49ers aren't shedding a tear for how they've been decimated by injuries or
– The Lions don't seem to be crying as much.
Absolutely. Minnesota lost their starting quarterback. They still got to 13 wins.
Yeah, they're still rolling.
Yeah, still rolling. So injuries, while they are a valid reason for why you might struggle, they're not an excuse.
No.
And so you still got to take care of business. And, you know, that's the interesting element about this season is, for once, and I think Mike McDaniel addressed it, for once against the 49ers, and I don't even think it was that big of a victory, but they played a complete game. Special teams, defense, offense. And I think still left a lot on the table offensively without that big run. You know, they had two opportunities in the end zone to punch it in and score touchdowns. Great passes to Tyreek Hill. Say whatever you want about Tua, but those were passes that were on the money. One, the defender gets his hand in. Okay, that's what happens. And then, but then the other, just a complete drop. Yeah. Now, not an easy catch for Tyreek Hill, but when you're top-rated player by your peers.
And the money that you make, make.
Why you always got to throw money? No, he makes it.
No, the people out there that are working like you and I right now on Christmas Eve, money is an issue. And it is. You're paid to make those catches. You and I are, we're paid to do this nonetheless. But I'm not hard on Tyreek. I mean, this is the thing. People do this. How could Tyreek Hill drop? You think he's out there trying to drop these passes?
No.
You think he's out there trying to ruin your life? No. He's doing the best he can. But, yeah, you got to get some catches. You got to make those catches.
Yeah, you're right. When you are paid the big money, you got to make those catches. You got to show up in prime time. Well, even though that wasn't prime time. you got to show up when the lights are bright. And unfortunately, he hasn't. But this has been a weird season from Dolphins. You know,
all around.
No, you're absolutely right. All around.
But Omar, can I ask you this? And maybe there's some validity to this, and maybe not. I'm a big believer in win everything that you can win. There's no such thing as no reason to win or draft and all this. Is there some validity that the Dolphins finish a season, let's just say on this three-game win streak, and they start putting things together, that the momentum can build towards next season? Although it's a different team, maybe next year it kind of gets the snowball rolling a little bit more. They get a little bit more momentum. Next year they start having a really good season. And they say that three-game win streak at the end of last season was kind of the start of this season. It kind of led into this season. Or is it just totally two things that are totally separate from each other?
No, I think it can. It ends a couple of narratives where, you know, today this week, let's say you go into Cleveland. Yes. You know, most people can't even name who the Cleveland Browns starter is.
I know it's got three names. Dorian Thompson.
Yeah, Dorian Thompson Peoples or something like that. But you sort of address that narrative. You can't win in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the Cleveland Browns. But is it cold or is it not cold? Mm-hmm. You go to New York. Yeah, they're not even trying to win. I think they're trying to compete to position themselves to get a quarterback. I don't really know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, but obviously that franchise needs to be reset.
Whew.
But Meadowlands isn't easy to play no matter who the opponent is. The winds are phenomenal in terms of how challenging it is to play in that stadium. And you got to take care of business. And, you know, to see the Dolphins team end the season strong and well and win in December, come on.
and maybe even get over somewhat of a mental hump, because this team is right there in a lot of these games. It just seems like when they need the big play or they need the clutch play, they haven't been. And maybe they can mentally get over the fact that we can't win in the cold. Maybe it's my arm. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. You see that 0-8 whenever it's 45 degrees below. Now you see 1-8. And even though that doesn't seem very good, maybe to your mental psyche, you say, it can be done. I have done it. We are doing it. So I think there's a lot to play for. And Mike McDaniel, you were at the press conference postgame. He kind of alluded to that. Like, there's more than just the playoffs on the table for this team these last two games.
There's always more. I think after the game, I think I'm going to write a column about this for the Miami Herald, who's my actual employer. I remember back in the Joe Philbin era, there was a meaningless victory over the Minnesota Vikings that had owner Steve Ross all cheesy and happy and basically telling the media, hey, you know, guys, there's no reason to be on coach watch because, Joe Philbin's going to be back next year. And this was before the season had concluded. And we're all sitting there like, really? And unfortunately, so did his team, because the next year they responded and just absolutely laid a goose egg. Mm-hmm. I believe they started 1-4 and fired him, leaving Germany just because the team wasn't responding to him, and then replaced him with Dan Campbell. But this is a situation where after the game, Steve Ross was like, hey, we got one more game ball for Mike McDaniel. And considering a lot of people are criticizing him and criticizing Chris Greer for the performance of the team this year, for the owner to come out and basically, give the coach a game ball for a victory. And yeah, it wasn't he's going to be back next year, but it was a vote of confidence that, hey, I believe in you. If the contract extension that was given to him before the season wasn't that vote of confidence that people were looking for, Mike got it after the game when he was surprisingly presented with the game ball from the owner. And truthfully speaking, I get where Steve Ross is coming from, because if you look at all the things that this team has been through and how they've performed in most of the games, with Green Bay and Tennessee probably the lone exceptions, they've been in every contest. Now, they've taken some tough losses to Arizona, to Buffalo,
Indianapolis.
And you're right.
Texans was a tough loss.
Yeah, I guess final play, final drive. The defense kept you in it, but yeah, I guess so.
You're in the game.
Yeah, you're in the game. There aren't many opportunities where the Dolphins aren't in the game or the Dolphins don't keep it competitive. And unfortunately, this isn't a well-built team, so for you to be able to do that, despite having all your issues, you got to put some respect on it. And that's what Steve Ross did at the end of the game. So,
and a vote of confidence that can go a long way, especially for a coach and a team and for an organization like that. And next year, the team, of course, is going to look differently. But how different is it going to look? We're going to try to discuss that. I know a lot of Dolphins fans, they call in every post game, and, man, even with the win, they want some changes done organizationally, personnel-wise, and I understand it, 24 years and most likely 25 years without a playoff win. Without a playoff win, we're not talking about Super Bowls, we're not talking about AFC championships, we're talking about a playoff win. That's a big deal. So next we're going to take a look at maybe what this team might look like next year, some of the guys, maybe their case for, maybe their case against, and just kind of take a look at that. It is Omar Kelly, I am Dan Day, Joe Rose, taking a day off on this Christmas Eve, wishing you a very, very happy holidays. I know Festivus was yesterday, today Christmas Eve, tomorrow Christmas, also the beginning of Hanukkah tomorrow. Then, of course, Kwanzaa will begin on the 26th. And maybe I'm missing a couple holidays here and there, but we are celebrating after a Dolphins win over the 49ers, who we'll get into why I hate the 49ers so much, Omar. Easy team to hate, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. A lot of 49er fans, you told me, too, were at the game. I saw them in my neighborhood. I was like, get out of here. Leave. Leave. And I have an idea why there's a lot of 49er fans, too. It's another reason why I also hate them. We're going to get into all that. I want to continue to talk a little bit of Dolphins football. A lot of Dolphins fans not happy with Chris Greer. In fact, One or two of them bought a banner to fly around the stadium, because you can't fly over the stadium, that kind of said, you know, Chris Greer's the problem, Stephen Ross, fix it. Omar, I've even heard you say at times, Chris Greer maybe doesn't exactly know what he's doing. So this may upset you.
He knows what he should be doing. I just don't think he's very good at doing it. Yes.
Well,
all year I've kind of analyzed, evaluated basically the team, the roster, how this team has been constructed, and from the jump I've thought and said that they were a flawed team just based on the way they were constructed. You're not good enough in your trenches. You didn't put enough money, resources, time, effort, draft picks into your trenches. And I'm a firm believer, Dan Day, that football games are won and lost in the trenches. And I know when you have an elite quarterback, it makes a huge difference. But that elite quarterback, he needs a running game. That elite quarterback, he needs protection for the big plays to develop. That team, they need to stop the run. Every defense says the number one thing that they got to do is they got to stop the run. You need defensive linemen. Third downs, when the quarterback is, quarterback's trying to find something to convert a third down or score, put up points and get his team into the end zone. It's great to have a good pass rush. This team cannot run the ball, cannot protect their quarterback. However, you know, he's pretty good at getting the ball out of his hand quickly, so that he masks that. They've struggled to stop the run most of this season, but there have been times like last week and the week before that where they've had a tremendous amount of success stopping the run. And they struggle to pressure the quarterback. They went into last week's game with the second fewest sacks. Only the Atlanta Falcons had fewer sacks than Miami. So what does all that add up to? You're weak in the trenches. Well, how is a team supposed to be built? This team is, I get it, they're built on speed and fast playmakers. And really, they're an expensive team because they've got eight players making all the money, eight players in the $20 million range. And that's just ridiculous and irresponsible, but that's how the Dolphins are built. If there's an expensive player out there available via trade, they're going to kick their tires. I found very interesting. There's a video that's surfacing on Al Gore's internet that was Mike McDaniel talking to Kerry Kittle after the game. And, you know, I got to look up Kittle's contract situation, what's going on there. And generally these coaches, they know what's up. He says to Kittle, South Florida's a great place to live.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Kittle's something.
Huh? Yeah. No, he's a good player. But Dolphins, last I checked,
all right,
Dolphins got a pretty good tight end that just set franchise records. Now,
yeah,
would that offense look better with Kerry Kittle and Jonnu Smith?
Ooh.
Probably.
But then again, you're not addressing really the offensive line and the defensive line in the trenches.
Yeah, well, actually, Kerry Kittle is a player who definitely helps you address the trenches, because he's such a great run blocker, and I could see where it could work. But I'm like, I got to look up his contract situation, George Kittle. He's 31 years old. Contract looks pretty damn solid to me. Actually, this is the $14.4 million in base salary, the final year of his contract. That's why.
Final year,
going to be looking for an extension. They create a ton of cap space if they release him. I don't know where their cap situation is as a team. I'm going to look at it up now. But it looks like, they got $50 million in cap space now.
Ooh.
65 next year. Yeah.
He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
And then you think you're going to expose Brock Purdy? No, man. Brock Purdy to me is a guy who's a step away from being exposed. And I think he was kind of exposed the other day. That Tua is the better quarterback than Brock Purdy.
I think Purdy had a better statistical game.
Switch him on teams and see who has a better game.
They are very equal quarterbacks in my mind. People were
asking me in the postgame, who would you rather have, a straight-up trade, Tua or Purdy? I take Tua every time.
You're factoring in durability as well?
Durability, that's a tough one, man. Yeah,
I mean, last I checked, Brock Purdy's had a hell of a career. He's got 104.5 passer rating for three seasons. Even now, this year, despite all the injuries, despite not having his left tackle, despite not having some top weapons,
he's got nothing.
94.4 passer rating. Whoo, he's got a 23-12 record despite the season's 6-8 record. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And everybody knows that I love Tua, and I think Tua is a good quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but I think he's a good quarterback. If you give me an opportunity to trade for Brock Purdy straight up, I might take it just on durability. And I know everybody's one hit away.
Yeah.
But we really know Tua's one hit away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I always say this, that I believe what Tua gets paid is warranted when he plays. We see how much value he brings to this team. Now, his durability questions the amount that he gets paid, the one hit away, the kind of cavalier way that he's not just played with the Dolphins, but his entire career. As you look back at it, you're up 31-0 against Mississippi State. Before halftime, what are you doing trying to run? You break your hip.
Come on. You're bringing up old stuff, Dan Day.
I'm bringing up a career.
You're bringing up old stuff. That was his college career. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Okay, because we can bring up all the times that he's been hurt and how he continues to roll the dice, dive in headfirst for first downs.
Listen, he's a football player. He's playing football.
Okay.
And he's even said, I got to be smarter about the way that I play to keep myself available to my team. And that was a lesson learned. Now, has it stopped him from diving face first into plays? No. But, hey, that Houston interception, Tua didn't chase the defender and expose himself to risk because he could have gotten air hold.
No one ever blamed Peyton Manning or Dan Marino when they threw an interception. They were out of the screen. They were gone.
Yeah.
You know what? Because you're more valuable to the team than stopping a...
That's exactly what it was. I get it now. I've been covering this team long enough. I know this market. They're going to find anything to criticize you about.
Oh, my, though.
Huh?
Tackling with your head and diving head first.
What you want him to do? Give up a touchdown?
I want him to get out of the way. I want him to slide. I want him to do all this stuff because I want him to play.
Okay, well, he was trying to prevent the Buffalo Bills from scoring a touchdown on his team. Yeah, he tried to take out the guy's legs with his helmet. Oh, gee, it happens. It's football. My helmet is – that's the reason my helmet is hard.
Okay. Yeah, the way I get a feeling about it is this. With Tua doing with the way he plays, it's kind of like you and I. You know, we know what we're supposed to do in relationships and, you know, when we're getting it down, but we never do. You know, you know what's...
What are you talking
about? Know
I always do.
You always...
I always
what's
do.
What's in your track? Do I have to pull up track record? You know, stuff? I mean, why are we talking about the past? Yeah, I mean, he knows better, but he's not going to. And I've given up. You know what? If he wants to dive headfirst for first downs in the second quarter, if he wants to try to tackle guys after throwing interceptions with his helmet, he's going to do it. And that's just the way it is.
Man, listen.
That doesn't make him a better player.
No, it doesn't, but it makes him a better teammate.
Well, if you can't play, how much of a better teammate are you?
That's the lesson in a balancing act that he has to perform. You know, we all know you don't want Tyler Huntley in there.
Is Skylar Thompson even going to be – I mean, he's on the practice squad, but is he going to be in the UFL next year?
I wouldn't be surprised if they signed him back to a futures contract and brought him back here. But
what?
You need a camp arm. You need guys to throw to your wide receivers.
I got crucified his rookie year for saying he's not special, he's not going to be good. You don't know. The sky's the limit.
Yeah,
you'll see.
No, bro, I mean,
those
he could be Brock Purdy. Same draft. Tyler Huntley was drafted. I mean, Skylar Thompson was drafted ahead of Brock Purdy.
He was in the seventh round, I know.
Yeah, if you could have had him. You could have had Purdy.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, you could have had a lot of people. And that's another thing. Chris Greer missed on Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy. Well, a lot of people missed on these guys. So let's not say that the Dolphins totally just whiffed.
There's a real good Lamar Jackson story. I've written about it, and I would love to tell it on the airwaves for these QAM listeners when we come up after this break. Because, yeah, they missed on Lamar Jackson.
How close? Was it close? You're going to tell us?
The owner said, hey, why don't we draft this guy?
Give me a minute to get it together, Elmar, just to hear this upcoming story. Because I love Lamar Jackson, man. I really do love Lamar Jackson. Even when he first started and there were some naysayers or there were people his first MVP season that said he's a flash in the pan still, I said, you're going to see this guy for a long time. And you are going to see this guy for a long time. But unfortunately in a Ravens uniform and not in a Dolphins uniform, how close did we come to having him in South Florida, back home, where he possibly belongs for another MVP this year? Probably not going to win it, though. Josh Allen's got that one pretty much locked up, I would say. But nonetheless.
No, you're not voting for Patrick Mahomes?
No. He's had enough.
But he's got a one loss on his record.
Once
look
again,
at the stable of his receivers. Look at all the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
No, Patrick Mahomes, what does he have to do? Walk on fire for you to vote for him?
No, I'm just saying he's got enough.
He's got enough? You were just talking about voting for Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have enough? Two-time MVP?
Two-time MVP, yeah. He's got enough also. So they're going to give it to Josh Allen.
You're right. You're
right. But nonetheless,
right.
Lamar Jackson, Heisman Trophy winner, South Florida guy, Pompano Beach, played at Deerfield Beach, correct?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a South Florida guy. And it wasn't just the Dolphins that passed on him. He was a late first-round pick.
I think it was the
last pick of the first round, if not one of the last picks.
Yes.
So a lot of people passed on him. So you could say, well,
the last pick of the first round, yeah, in 2018.
It's
absolutely
not exactly Chris Greer and the Dolphins' fault, because they're not the only team that passed on him. But Omar is here to tell us maybe it's a little more on the shoulders of Chris Greer and the Dolphins than possibly initially thought. You have a story about Lamar Jackson on draft day or around draft day that involves the Dolphins.
Boynton Beach High.
Boynton.
Not Deerfield.
Not Deerfield.
This was the Minka Fitzpatrick draft,
okay,
of 2018, and I believe the Dolphins had the 11th pick.
Hmm.
Now, Minka was a player who was highly targeted on their draft board, and you know he was viewed as a top 10 player that was falling and sliding. Now, because he was falling and sliding, there was a team that made an offer to Miami. Never really got the team. I don't know if I ever got the team. That basically said, hey, we'll give you a future first round pick. If you move down, let us move up and get Lamar Jackson. Get Minka Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they ever told them who the pick that they were going to select.
But that was it.
But that was it, because he was sliding. And here you go. You get a future asset. But you have to move down in this draft. And keep in mind that this wasn't a very good draft. But you wanted to make sure that you walked away from this draft with an upper echelon elite player, which happened to be Minka Fitzpatrick. And at that time, it was Adam Gase, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer. Those are the three players in the organization. They'd already put together a draft board. They went into the draft saying, Minka Fitzpatrick is our guy. Hopefully we're fortunate enough to be in a situation where we can select him. And they were. But here we go. A team is dangling out future first-round pick. You come down here into the 20s. I believe it was the 20s. You come down here into the 20s, and it might have been Baltimore, actually. I'm trying to think if it was Baltimore, but knowing their history, you know, the Ravens really do make good selections. So I wouldn't be shocked if it was Baltimore that was trying to get Minka Fitzpatrick. I can't remember the team. And there was a draft room fight within the organization from Mike Tannenbaum wanted to move down and wanted to take the trade. If the owner proposed this idea, Steve Ross said, hey, What if we move down and select Lamar Jackson and Adam Gase basically poo-pooed the idea? Yeah, poo-pooed
quarterback
it.
Guy. He's a quarterback guy, though.
He's a quarterback guy. But in that draft, he had a lot of quarterbacks that he had targeted. Josh Allen happened to be one of them. Josh Allen was already off the board at 7. That was a year where they actually looked at quarterbacks. But you know who they didn't look at?
Lamar Jackson.
They did not look at Lamar Jackson. And you know why they didn't look at Lamar Jackson?
Because they didn't think he was a quarterback in the NFL.
No, because Adam Gase didn't want to coach him and didn't want to change the style of team that he ran and the style of plays that he didn't want to create an offense for Lamar Jackson. And he didn't want to change up his entire offense. And so it really was, they were on the clock. It was a 10-minute debate that got so heated they had to take it out of the draft room and take it into an individual's office. I can't remember which individual it was. It might have been, and the owner was there, the three individuals, and literally I've gotten this story from all individuals involved. Okay. And Chris Greer, who was the GM at the time, and at that time, Chris Greer, the draft was his responsibility. Everybody else had their own lane. But you know who was the head dog when it came draft time? It was Chris Greer. Mm. And he basically broke the tie and said, we put all this work into this draft. We believe Minka Fitzpatrick is going to be an elite player. And he turned out to be an elite player. Yes. We are going to select Minka Fitzpatrick. And but even if they had traded down, they still wouldn't have selected Lamar Jackson, even though the owner proposed it.
Oh, but it's the owner. It's Stephen Ross. He owns the team. He has no final say?
Nope. Not really? Stephen Ross. That's not how he operates.
You know.
And you know what? And I understand Steve, I call him, I don't call him Steven. His name is Steven, but I remember once asking him, what do you want to go by, like as history to record you? Because I am like, I'm a historian. I'm a journalist, but basically I'm a historian. When people look 40 years into, who is this Steve Ross guy? They'll be looking up my work. He does not feel comfortable enough making football decisions, making football evaluations. He is a fan. That doesn't mean that he's not right, because if you had drafted Lamar Jackson, you would be drastically better. Adam Gase wouldn't be your head coach. And maybe Lamar probably would have struggled in his rookie season.
Yeah.
But okay. I think you'd be all right. You know, in time if you had done that. So, but here we are years later, trading Minka Fitzpatrick for what turned into, I believe it was Noah Igbinoghene. No, Austin Jackson. Trading Minka Fitzpatrick for what turned into Austin Jackson. And lo and behold, truth be told, Austin Jackson, based on the fact that the run game absolutely dissipated once Austin Jackson went down, yeah. You got to put props on what Austin Jackson's done. So Minka Fitzpatrick turned into Austin Jackson. So technically, you have Austin Jackson instead of Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Another one of your stories that kind of really sticks in my craw, and I'm not going to say it keeps me up at night, but makes me think what could have been.
Yeah.
You had heard stories that in the Tua draft, Brian Flores wanted to go a different direction.
Yes, he did.
What was that direction? Just because I want to feel bad this holiday season.
Brian Flores wanted to select an offensive lineman with the 5th pick. I believe it would have been Wirf. I'm going to look that up right now. That was a 2020 NFL draft. It was either Wirf or the one that went to the Giants, I think, was selected right before. Yeah, Andrew Thomas. Mike McDaniel wanted to select Jared Willis, I believe.
Okay.
Or I can't remember which one. It might have been Wirfs, yes, who was selected 13th. And then he wanted to use the 18th pick on Jordan Love. I hear you, in terms of your grumbling, but I would argue to you Tua Tagovailoa has had a better career than Jordan Love. And on top of that, you'll say, okay, well, Jordan Love beat him head to head.
And won a playoff game last year. And almost beat the 49ers in the playoffs last year. And has his team rolling. They won 34-0 last night against the Saints.
It's not fair. You know why it's not fair? You know why it's not fair? He's got a better team. He's got a well-built team. Does Tua have a well-built team?
You could argue that. Yes or no. That's what I want to talk. I want to talk about that. Chris Greer is going to go to Stephen Ross and say, look at this team. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, Tua Tagovailoa, if I'm, of course, Chris Greer, elite quarterback. I drafted.
Hold on.
I'm saying this is what he's going to say.
Oh, this is what he's going
to
say.
I'm not saying.
Upper echelon. Let's not put
when you're promoting yourself.
No. We can't promote ourselves. Even Chris Greer, even Steve Ross is not dumb enough for that one.
One of the best quarterbacks.
We're not going to put, until we see some kills, until we see him shank a team in the side or cut somebody's throat, we're not going to put that elite with Tua.
I drafted Tua.
Upper echelon quarterback.
He's an upper echelon quarterback. We've got an upper echelon offensive lineman, Teron Armstead. Could be a Hall of Famer one day. I got him.
Come on. Hold on. But you know he's going to battle injuries his entire career.
I've got the best player in the NFL, voted by his peers, Tyreek Hill. One of the great receivers.
And you paid handsomely for it. Two major contracts.
Okay.
First round draft picks plus.
I got Jalen Waddle, who, I mean, whether you want to say it or not, a top tier receiver, at least if you're Chris Greer selling it.
Should have been Ja'Marr Chase if you were smart, but, you know, that's besides the point.
Also, got Jonnu Smith. I brought him in. Hey, look, he's having a career. Devon Achane, I drafted him. He's the first Dolphin to ever have 500-plus rushing yards and receiving yards in the same season. I've done all that. Now, let's go to the other side. If healthy, your defensive line looks like Calais Campbell, brought him in. Zach Sealer, signed him, kept him. I brought Christian Wilkins in. Didn't pay for him. Ended up being a good thing, at least so far, because he hasn't played this year. So you actually save money on that, and I kept that receipt, and I've been on that one for a while. And I would have Jalen Phillips, drafted him. Also, Chop Robinson seems to be a pretty darn good pick. Brought in Jalen Ramsey. Got Javon Holland, who's having an off year nonetheless. I put together a team on paper that should be really good.
You're not bragging about Javon Holland this year.
I know you're not. You're not at all. But yeah, he's been banged up a little bit. But
That's true.
If you're Chris Greer saying, look, this team is comparable to any team out there. Not my fault we're having a season that we're not in the playoffs.
Hold on, whose fault are you putting it on?
Well,
then,
if you're Chris Greer, anybody but you.
You better not put it on Mike McDaniel, because I could put it right back on you.
No, but what I'm saying, if I'm Chris Greer, look, you can get the chef the best of the best ingredients and good recipes. It's up to him to make it and make it work and make it good. Now, I'm saying, if you're Chris Greer and you're trying to save the job this year.
I'm sorry. I don't think you gave me good recipes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you gave me good ingredients. It's like one of those cooking shows where they tell you, oh, work licorice into the meal. it's one of those challenge shows where you got to rush into the kitchen and you got 50 seconds, pick all the ingredients that you need, and we'll figure out what you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. This is such a poorly constructed team, to the point where your starting linebacker, your middle linebacker, your captain is cut in the midseason and replaced. Yeah, you replaced him with Anthony Walker, and I thought Anthony Walker really had a good camp, and I'm not surprised that he replaced him. But, bro, you got him off the Dollar Tree, out of Dollar Tree. I mean, but here's the thing. You do most of your shopping at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, you got a guy called Jackson Carman as your offensive lineman.
Yeah,
Liam Eichenberg's been. Although I thought he did pretty good last game. I'll be honest.
Yeah, he's fighting for his NFL future. I stopped picking on Liam.
Yeah,
I stopped talking about Liam. I know Liam's probably one of the worst starting guards in the NFL. But at this point, you know what he is. So I stopped picking on him.
And it also helps to have Teron Armstead back in the lineup when you have better offensive linemen around
Kendall
you.
Lamb, too.
Kendall Lamb, too.
But hold on. Liam was struggling with Teron Armstead. Liam was struggling with Austin Jackson. Liam was just struggling. He's been struggling all season.
He's had a struggling career, it seems like.
He's had a struggling career, yes. It's funny, these analytical sites, which I don't necessarily buy and believe in. I'm not a Pro Football Focus guy. I just don't like their grading system. But they make the argument, Liam's having the best year of his career, but he's also still the worst offensive guard in the NFL.
Yeah, wow.
Imagine having the best year of your career and still be the worst at your job.
And that is the Dolphins in a nutshell right there. Oh, man. Omar Kelly with us. Joe Rose is taking the day on this Christmas Eve.
Yeah, only you suckers are working on Christmas. I apologize to everybody. I'm including myself because, you know, I needed the holiday money. You know, Christmas is not cheap when you got a three-year-old. So, no.
I don't think life is cheap when you have a three-year-old, Omar.
I don't think anything is cheap right about
now.
Do
you take her out to Wynwood? I follow you on Instagram. I've never seen you take her out to Wynwood.
I take her out to Wynwood all the time.
Oh, where do you go?
We go get ice cream.
Oh, nice.
And walk around. She's much like her dad. She likes to be outside.
There's good art. There's good culture out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I remember when they used to have art on the side of the streets in Wynwood just on a regular.
Right, yeah.
I think it was like the first weekend mm-hmm. of the month.
Yeah.
When did we lose Wynwood? When did Wynwood get taken over by these transplanted New Yorkers? When did we lose Wynwood?
Maybe COVID. I would say probably COVID, 2020.
Like, why can't we get it back?
Yeah, Wynwood is strange now, man. When I was first here before COVID, it was more artsy and fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Now I'm like, where's the cool? I'm not saying it's
not
cool.
The cool is gone.
A lot of the cool stuff, like I go to Gramps and I sit there and that's, you know, kind of maybe, you know, go to eat a pecan or udon or something. But you're right, Omar. It's lost some of its cool.
It's taken over by these yuppies, these New York yuppies. You I wish you would go home.
That's Omar's Christmas wish. New York yuppies, just go home. Give us our city back.